Welcome to the Norris Group's Real Estate Radio Show. Hosted by author, investor, hard money lender, and real estate educator, Bruce Norris. Equipping California real estate professionals for tomorrow's challenges.
October 14th, 2011, the Norris Group returned with its award-winning event, I Survived Real Estate. An expert lineup of industry specialists joined Bruce Norris to discuss current industry regulation, head-scratching legislation, and the opportunities emerging for savvy real estate professionals. 100% of the proceeds support the Orange County affiliate of Susan G. Komen for The Cure. This event would not have been possible without the generous help of the following platinum partners: Foreclosure Radar and Sean O'Toole, Housing Wire, the San Diego Creative Real Estate Investors Association and President Bill Tan, Investors Workshops with President Sean Watkins and Angel Bronskiest, Invest Club for Women and Iris Veneration and Bobby Alexander, San Jose Real Estate Investors Association and Geraldine Berry, Real Wealth Networks, Fry Wiles, MVT Productions, and White House Catering. The event video can be found on isurvived2011.com.
I Survived Real Estate started just 4 years ago. For those of you who have been here for a long time, hasn't time flown? It's crazy. It started with a simple formula, a conversation and a cause. The last 4 years in real estate have been particularly difficult. If you're in this room today, I think it's fair to say you are considered a survivor, right? Long gone are the days of condo hotel investing in Las Vegas. A realtor in every household, stated income loans, and 10% price increases every month. True professionals working in the environment today stay on top of trends and challenges in all different facets that make up the market. Tonight, we've invited six special guests, all from all over the nation. Some have or soon will be representing their national organizations in Congress trying to influence change. The conversations on stage tonight will hopefully give us a better idea of what to expect in 2012 and how our businesses might change. 100% of the proceeds tonight are going to Susan G. Komen for The Cure. We have blown through all everything we've ever done in all the other years. We are this close to $80,000 this year. There's a lot of people who didn't know how it works. We've had a lot of walkers involved. The walkers alone this year raised $15,000. How you attended is the sponsors actually made a donation to our breast cancer walk team. We walked in a breast cancer walk about 2 weeks ago, and people actually joined our walk to earn a seat tonight. We've had more walkers participate than ever. We had over 50 people and hence 15 grand. So thank you for all the walkers. A lot of them are up here tonight. We typically do this in September, but since we waited till October, we actually got to have a special guest and a representative of Komen. Her name is Rebecca Haltquist, and I'd like to invite her up here to talk a little bit about Susan G. Komen. Rebecca?
Thank you, everyone, for being here tonight and being part of I Survived Real Estate and also furthering the movement to end breast cancer forever, which is what we're doing. You're doing together with me and the other advocates at Susan G. Komen for The Cure in Orange County. I'd like to thank you all for your support and the Norris family and Aaron for supporting us over the past 3 years. And I guess as of now, you've raised over $250,000 for women in need here in Orange County and surrounding areas. It's phenomenal. You guys are pretty passionate here tonight, and I am too. And we've come together to further this cause, which is what I'm involved in. Again, thank the Norris family. I also want to thank all of you here, specifically the real estate industry. I know you've all been faced with this down economy, and this event is specifically saving lives here in Orange County for women, and maybe some of you too that are in the industry but don't necessarily carry health insurance, and being able to afford a mammogram is not possible. I even have a friend who was recently diagnosed and because she's under the age of 40, got a mammogram through the funds that Komen offered her from the funds that come from you people here tonight. And with your donations, you have become advocates like I am, volunteering and being a part of this movement. Not only am I a lifelong resident of Orange County, but I, too, am a survivor of breast cancer. I was just 33 when I was diagnosed a few years back, and I was a mom and a wife, and I had three beautiful daughters, and if it weren't for a life-saving mammogram that I had that year, I wouldn't be here. It was stage 2 invasive breast cancer, and I endured chemotherapy, radiation, and surgery, and through that became involved with Susan G. Komen for the Cure. And I'm passionate about that because 75% of the funds raised that come through our doors stay right here in this area to help women in need through treatment, through clinical mammograms, and it all stays right here. So the funds that you are raising here are staying right here. Women that you, if you know someone who's in need, we can help them. We can get them the treatment they need. As an advocate for Komen OC, I'm here on behalf again to thank you, and I just want everyone to know, though, that early detection is what saved my life and what will save the lives of the future women. And through the science that we're funding as well, that 25%, I'm looking forward to day when our daughters and our children and granddaughters out there, if all of you here, live in a world without breast cancer. But it's because of you guys here raising those money and coming together as a community in your industry that we are going to be able to do that. And I just want to thank you all again from the bottom of my heart and from Komen OC.
As it has become a tradition over the last couple of years, would you please stand if you're honoring somebody that has struggled with cancer? That's always the hardest part. Thank you. George, can you go to the screen for a second for me? There she is. Most of you know the cause tonight is a very personal meaning to our family. Mom passed in January after a 17 very brave fight against cancer. The first 3 years of I Survived actually launched with a radio show between Mom and Dad. And I will forever be very grateful for this event because we've got three wonderful shows that show her, just her spirit, her stubbornness, her unwillingness to give up, her faith. And I'm just very grateful for you being here and sharing this with us. And it's just been a lot to our family, so thank you. So, without further ado, I'd like to introduce you to the host this evening. He's been an active investor for 30 years and has been part of thousands of transactions as investor, builder, and a hard money lender. He hosts a weekly award-winning radio show and spends much of his time researching things like congressional bills, bailouts, and economics. Sounds fun. I'm very honored to introduce my father, Bruce Norris.
Thank you, guys. I'm going to take just a moment to talk a little bit about the most amazing person that I've ever known. Marcia Norris started every day by doing two things. She said prayers for everyone in her family every day, and she took time to think of all the things that were blessings in her life. The one thing that you couldn't mistake about Marcia is she was thankful for the smallest things. If you took her out for coffee, you never failed to hear thank you. And it was such an awesome example for our family. And Marcia was an amazing blend of stubborn determination and kindness. And I remember, Glenn, you've said that about Marcia, and it's true. She had an iron will when it came to some things. And one of those things was dealing with breast cancer. She decided early on that breast cancer was not going to rule her life, that she was going to put it in a little corner and tell it to stay there. And there were times that she was afraid, and there was times that she was hurting, but that was dominated by, let's go on a cruise and let's go live a life. And if you have somebody in your life that has cancer, It's a choice on how to handle that. And we saw somebody handle it with such grace and dignity that it was amazing. The people in this audience put a smile on her face constantly during her 17-year journey with cancer. You guys sent cards, calls, flowers constantly. She received flowers. And just when she came to meetings, she felt your love. And I'm telling you, it was very touching to her. And if she could talk to you tonight, she would once more say thank you from the bottom of my heart for giving me comfort and taking good care of me. So thank you. Tonight is probably, I think, the most important meeting we've had. It seems to be there's a lot at stake. And there's a lot of things at stake for not just investors, but collectively. Sometimes as investors, we think of ourselves as the lone Mohican out here. But all of a sudden, there's legislation that we're going to be talking about tonight that really deal with our entire industry and how it affects how people buy property and how much down payment they have to have and et cetera. And so we actually have a common enemy with everyone in the industry, and it almost feels good. But on the other side of it, there's a lot of things going on in the world that I never thought I would have to think about as a real estate investor. And so all of a sudden I find myself staying up late at night watching Europe and see if Greek is going to default or something. And honestly, it's one of the tasks of tonight for the economists. And by the way, no one knows any of the questions I'm going to ask them. And I think I want to let you know that there may be a question I ask that someone doesn't know the answer to. That's perfectly acceptable. You know, we have to honor the fact that sometimes I'm asking stuff I don't know, to be honest with you, because I'm trying to find out myself if something's going to be happening. The goal of tonight is to kind of bat it around with people at the top of an industry. And we have to have a lot of respect for the journey that it takes to have the positions that they have. It's really a lifetime commitment to get to where they are. They've dedicated themselves. And so we have a lot more in common than different. And tonight we're going to try and see if we can't make some suggestions that make a difference in all of our lives and all of our businesses. And that'll be a good outcome for me. I can't tell you how many hours of preparation I've done, because you're never done. And that's one thing that finally today, I had missed karate for 3 days, and I actually really miss it. And I wasn't going to go this morning, but I decided to, and I feel really kind of relaxed. You said that would be true. and it was. You know, there's only so many books you can read, but I've read probably 500 pages a day for the last week, because it was new stuff. And so I can just tell you I'm as prepared as I can possibly be for the questions that I'm going to ask. I want to go through a little bit of a presentation, because it'll kind of set the tone of where we are in California. There's a lot of new people in this audience that hasn't seen this. Some of the regulars are probably saying, I've seen this so many times. So just bear with me as I go through this and talk about where we are in California, why we have some of the problems we have, not just in California, but nationally, and then maybe what we're going to be able to do about it. For a lot of the people in this audience, and by the way, this is a very diversified audience, so I'm going to ask, how many people are investors? Let me see your hands. Okay, now that's a very different number than it was 3 years ago. That would be 90% of the audience. How many people are real estate agents and mortgage brokers? Okay, I mean, that's a lot of people now. Escrow. I have to honor our escrow, come on. All right. And appraisers. Appraisers? All right. So we have a very diverse group of people. Now, this is a property that we actually bought. This property sold at the peak of the market for $436,000 in Moreno Valley. About 2.5 years later, we bought it for just a tad less, $64,000. We put $35,000 into it, and we rented it out for $1,400 a month, and I still have this property. Now, when we fixed it, we turned it into that. That's how we fix our rentals. So one of the things that I want people to realize is sometimes there's just an assumption that when you have rentals, then you are a slumlord. Well, I beg to differ. And the reason why we do this to rentals is, guess what? We don't have any competition because no one's going to put granite in their rentals except if you think like us. And the way we think is we're going to get the best tenants, we're going to get the most applicants, we're going to get the least people to move out, and labor's on sale right now, so we decided to fix everything really nice right now. And so sometimes cities are worried about, oh, there's too big a percentage of rentals. I would say there's a lot of people in this group that fix them the same way. And so you don't have to be afraid. But one of the problems is that someone bought that house across the street for $436,000. And they still owe $436,000. Now, this house may be worth $150,000 or $170,000, but therein lies our problem, is this chart. We have a very large percentage of people upside down. So in California, we have about 30% of the people upside down, with another 4 or 5% very close. And that is a big problem. And some of the cities are way worse. And I picked this particular city because it's the worst one I could find. This is Hesperia, and if you look at the on the right hand side, Aaron, do I have a pointer? I'm so afraid to push a wrong button. Anyway, the dark color represents 200% more. You owe twice as much as the house is worth or more. Okay, so 9,000 plus households are in that situation. 5,793 owe 120% to 200%. So you add all that negative up, you've got 76.9% of the people in Hesperia who aren't going anywhere. They can't move up, they can't move out. That's a problem when 76% of your city is stationary and can't go anywhere. And that's an extreme example, but the whole state has got some problems. One of the things that's occurring is that we're having decent volume in sales in California. This is a historic look at volume in the brown line. And so 2010, about 500,000 sales. 2011 is very similar. What's the difference is the mix of sales. If you look at the mix of sales, and this is from the California Association of Realtors for August of 2011, is that you've got about 43-44% of all sales either being short sales or REOs. And if you think about a short sale or an REO, the person that leaves that closing has damaged credit. They are not buying another house. You have just lost 43% of your former owners to non-ownership status. That has never happened before. Now, that's the average for the state of California. You go to some areas like Riverside where it's 65%. 65% combination of short sales and REOs is what's going on in Riverside. So for every 1,000 sales, 650 buyers no longer emerge as an owner-occupant. They have to either be sold to an investor, or you have to have people migrate into the area new. Well, in Riverside, we have about a 15% unemployment. The likelihood of them showing up is not as good as it once was. And so this is the dilemma, because we have some dominoes to solve. And one of the things I'll be asking up here, and as we will probably put our heads together, is how do we fix unemployment? Because in our area, you don't fix unemployment without fixing construction. You can't fix construction until you have a price per square foot that makes a builder a profit. And we are a tad away from that. And so we had better figure out how to move a lot of properties to another group of people. This is from Carr as well. Portion of sellers planning to repurchase. Look at that chart. Something like 37% of people, when they close escrow, are saying, yeah, I'm going to buy another one right away. You have the damage group, but you also have the people that are mentally just kind of beat up. You know, I just closed escrow. I used to have a $400,000 house. It closed for $190,000. I don't know if I want to participate in another one right now. And so you really have this lag effect that goes on when you're not too excited about real estate. So consequently, what's going on is the cash sales have exploded. So you have people that are in this room buying properties. The problem is, when we buy properties for cash, eventually we run out of cash. And what do we have to do? We have to shove that same property in a better condition on the market. So instead of being able to back up the truck with the REOs and say, okay, let's unload a lot of them, you're constantly competing with very nice inventory that's coming back around. if we could get financing, so we wouldn't do that. And that's part of what we're going to talk about tonight. 33% of loans in foreclosure have not made a payment in over 2 years. This chart reflects that people who haven't made their payment in a year or more, 41%. So we're letting people stay in foreclosure for a long time. I'm sure there's people here that know people that have been not paying a payment for a long time. There was even a news article in the Riverside Press where there was a family being interviewed, and they were actually pretty delighted about how their lifestyle has changed since they stopped making their house payment. No kidding. They said, life is so much better. We have extra money for the business. We went on a vacation. We bought a barbecue. It was a portable barbecue, too, by the way. They could take that puppy if something... But eventually, you know, this inventory might show up. This is the ball of inventory that's churning behind the scenes, 90 days late, all the way through properties all or they're already foreclosed, is 4 million properties. It's about 8% of all the inventory in the country. So if you think this is over with, it's not. It's just in some form. And one of the things I'll probably ask tonight is why we're letting that happen. Why is that the best strategy that's going on? One of the things that is happening right now, and I think this is important for all of us in the industry, is there's trying to be a retooling of our minds toward ownership of homes. This is a front cover article, excuse me, for the Time magazine, Rethinking Home Ownership. But the explanation kills me. Why owning a home may no longer make economic sense. They could have said anything else but that. You have half price real estate and interest rates at 4%. And that's economically a bad idea. I want you to call up your landlord and see if you can get a 30-year fixed rental rate. That isn't going to happen. So it's not economically infeasible. It's actually the smartest thing you could possibly do. But what's interesting is we have decided that media-wise, so we're going to say that maybe owning a home, since it's damaged so many people just recently, maybe we've had it wrong all the time. I'm going to tell a personal story because this is, to me, this is really what America is about. I got married at 17 to Marcia, and I didn't catch on to work very well. I got fired 5 times very quickly. So I was ticking people off. I didn't know how to disagree with an owner is what it amounted to, part of it. I would be... No, I don't agree with that. And then I was gone. The first time I came home with cash, Marcia was really happy. After that, she knew that was severance pay. When we were 21, we had a chance to buy a home in Mira Loma. And I had sort of rectified my problems with working. And we bought a house. We didn't know what we were doing. The toilets flushed the wrong way. The windows didn't work. The Sunday morning that we fixed Sunday dinner, we had a window, not an air conditioner, but some kind of swamp cooler. And we started it up and it coughed dirt all over our Sunday dinner. So we had to go out. But the next day, I got to mow my own grass for the first time. And I've got to tell you that it was the first day I felt like a man.
You've been listening to the Norris Group Real Estate Radio Show. For more information on the Norris Group, please visit www.thenorrisgroup.com.
The Norris Group would like to thank its gold sponsors for supporting I Survived Real Estate 2011. Adrenaline Athletics, Caldwell Banker Pioneer Real Estate, Conaway and Conaway, Del May Properties, Elite Auctions, Inland Empire Investors Forum, Inland Valley Association of Realtors, Keller Williams of Corona, Keystone CPA, Kukan and Clark Partners LLC, Las Brisas Escrow, Lievis Associates, Mike Cantu, Northern California Real Estate Investors Association, Northern San Diego Real Estate Investors Association, Pacific Sunrise Mortgage, Personal Real Estate Magazine, Raven Paul and Company, Realty 411 Magazine, Rick and Leanne Rossiter, Southwest Riverside County Board of Realtors, Stars Photography, UDirect IRA, Wilson Investment Properties, Tony Alvarez, Tri-Emerald Financial Group, and Weston South Coast Plaza. Visit isurvived2011.com for more details.